you're all jumping on with us today. A lot going on over here. A lot to catch you up on. Happy Wednesday, everyone. Welcome to the show. We are very excited for today's show, I guess, because I'm going to catch up on a lot of the stories we've been bringing to you throughout the week. There's a lot of interesting turns, twists, and everything else you'd expect. We've been keeping our eyes on a lot. Specifically, though, well, we've got our eyes, obviously, on the White House. President Trump is expected to make an address later today. This is going to happen around 9 p.m. This is going to be the address to the nation speech, of course. We are waiting for that to take place. That will be at 9 p.m. Eastern time. You know, the press secretary earlier today gave us a little glimpse about what to expect. Take a listen.
I'll say a couple of things on that. First of all, as you all saw on Truth Social, President Trump is going to be giving a joint address to, or an address to the nation, not a joint address, an address to the nation tomorrow night, live from the White House here at 9 o'clock Eastern. I know you guys will all be tuning in. It's going to be a really good speech. I was just in the Oval Office with the president discussing it. He's going to talk a lot about the accomplishments over the past 11 months. All that he's done to bring our country back to greatness and all he continues to plan to do to continue delivering for the American people over the next 3 years.
So we're going to be sitting back and waiting for that to begin. That's expected at 9 p.m. Eastern time today. We've also got our eyes on Fulton County because, well, Miss Fannie Willis, the Fulton County District Attorney one, the corrupt one I'm referring to here, by the way, she is going to be testifying under oath in front of the Georgia Senate Special Committee on Investigations. Now, this has been long overdue. She's been fighting this back for quite some time now because she's a corrupt little hack and she doesn't want to have to speak on what kind of level of corruption she was committing behind the scenes in regards to her persecution of President Trump and his allies. And even some people that never even met the president, she was just trying to go after in that RICO case. So that should get very, very interesting. We'll give you an update later in the show as well on Venezuela. That's how we're going to kick it off, actually, because a lot happened yesterday in regards to Venezuela. The president putting out a very spicy, I guess I'll say, Truth Social post yesterday, as well as Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of War, speaking to the media yesterday, saying he's not going to put out that September 2nd unedited video of that, I believe they call it the double tap airstrike. So that's what you got from him. He's not going to put it out. We'll play the soundbite. We'll play his explanation, of course. And we'll detail the latest on Venezuela because things are getting pretty crazy in Venezuela right now. We could expect probably within the next couple of days things to really start to ramp up a bit. So we'll dive into that in just a moment. Plus, we'll bring the very latest in that Brown University shooting story. As many of you guys know, the suspect is still on the run. We are keeping our eye on that. There was a lot of stupidity going on yesterday at the press conferences. It's really hard to believe that the FBI and local PD are truly doing their best on this case when they all look like a bunch of fools. I'll bring you the latest and the most outrageous parts that we learned of in that investigation. It's pretty insane that our own federal governments, I know, don't really trust them. But guys, the FBI is unable to find this person. The best thing we got is footage like this. And then they brag and they go, oh, we enhanced the footage. I don't know what type of enhancement that is, but we'll dive into that in a little bit. Plus, left-wing terrorism, as many of you guys know, there was just recently an arrest of four individuals, a part of that plot that, well, they allegedly say the FBI, the DOJ, that they were trying to create a terror attack on New Year's Eve in Los Angeles. They were going to set off IEDs, according to their plan, at several locations. Well, there was just a Trantifa individual arrested. That's according to the government's accusations, not mine, theirs. I don't know how to feel about this. You know, we had Ken Silva on the program yesterday who read through the indictment, told us what he thought. I'll give you the latest though on that fifth person who has just been arrested. Plus, the leaders in Australia are just weak, very, very weak, and they're unable to be truthful with their people. And instead of going out there and criticizing Islam, which they're afraid to do, they're going to try their very best to dance around the subject matter. We've got a soundbite that you actually probably won't even believe is real, but it actually happened live on television yesterday with a deputy prime minister. To stay put, we got a lot more to discuss in just a bit. In the meantime, though, it's the final days of Christmas, which means it's 60% off right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. All of your favorite supplements are on sale. Specifically, though, we have obviously sea moss gummies and the Methylene Blue, 60% off right now over at thealexjonesstore.com.
challenging all of you to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds, we are in the red, and we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy a new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products and a whole bunch of other sales and deals. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and it reorders every month and get 50% off on all future orders. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
American Journal. Good morning, everyone. Happy Wednesday. I feel like this week's kind of dragging on a bit. Glad you're here with us, though. Of course, a lot going on in this front. We're going to catch you up on all the stories we broke to you throughout the week. A lot of important updates that we wanted to make sure are on your radar. As well, the corporate media is not going to point these things out, but we're not a bunch of cowards over here. We're going to point it out. We're waiting to see President Trump later tonight give a very important speech. As many of you guys know, we're awaiting his address to the nation. Much is expected at 9 p.m. Eastern time today. Now, the press secretary came out and she spoke and she pretty much gave her highlights as to what she thinks this is going to be about. Take a listen.
I'll say a couple of things on that. First of all, as you all saw on Truth Social, President Trump is going to be giving a joint address to, or an address to the nation, not a joint address, an address to the nation tomorrow night, live from the White House here at 9 o'clock Eastern. I know you guys will all be tuning in. It's going to be a really good speech. I was just in the Oval Office with the president discussing it. He's going to talk a lot about the accomplishments over the past 11 months. All that he's done to bring our country back to greatness and all he continues to plan to do to continue delivering for the American people over the next 3 years.
And as many of you guys know, we are going to be looking forward to just that. We will be covering it, of course, on Thursday morning. But I think it's very important that we buckle up and listen to what he's got to say, because there's a lot going on, especially if you're someone who is concerned about Venezuela, which I'm sure so many of us are, of course. So we look forward to hearing him speak on that front. Also, we got our eyes on something very important happening right now in Fulton County. Fannie Willis is expected to speak under oath, testify under oath, to the Georgia Senate Special Committee on Investigations that is happening today. It's been a long, long battle because that woman did not want to have to speak about her own alleged corruption. And so now she's being forced to do just that. So we'll keep our eye on that. In case anything happens, of course, we'll bring it straight to you. I also wanted to bring your attention to Venezuela. As many of you guys may have saw yesterday, President Trump put out a very spicy post about Venezuela, now saying that Maduro's government is a foreign terrorist organization. He also then announced that they're, obviously surrounded right now, which we all know is the case, and that they are implementing a complete blockade of all sanctioned oil tankers. Key word there, sanctioned. According to Eric Prince, it won't affect Chevron's legal exports on Venezuelan oil. So stay calm there, of course. Also, we'll be following this as it develops. But I'm telling you, folks, it appears that it's going to be getting kind of crazy in Venezuela very soon. I think President Trump is angling to ramp things up over the next few days. And so we're going to keep our eye on that. Now, yesterday, we kind of brought you a brief overview, I should say. In regards to Venezuela, as many of you guys know, Democrats have been utilizing these airstrikes that have been carried out on these alleged drug smuggling vessels that are trying to make their way to the United States. That's what the Pentagon alleges. That's what President Trump alleges as well. So we've been following this story for quite some time now. Now, there's been a lot of back and forth. I want to play clip four for you actually first, because in clip four, the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, actually addressed the issue, specifically outlining why these very controversial airstrikes, the unedited footage, will not be made public. Take a listen.
This is the 22nd bipartisan briefing we've had on a highly successful mission to counter designated terrorist organizations, cartels, bringing weapons meaning drugs, to the American people and poisoning the American people for far too long. So we're proud of what we're doing, able to lay it out very directly to these senators and soon to the House, but it's all classified. We can't talk about it now. We're also going to tomorrow allow the HASC and SASC to see the unedited video of the September 2nd, alongside with Admiral Bradley, who has done a fantastic job, has made all the right calls, and we're glad he'll be there to do it. But in keeping with longstanding Department of War policy, Department of Defense policy, of course we're not going to release a top secret, full unedited video of that to the general public. HASC and SASC and appropriate committees will see it, but not the general public.
Now, I know many of you guys at home were wondering, why is Brianna keep asking this question over at the Pentagon? Why am I asking for them to make this footage public? Well, for me, if the mainstream media, if Democrats are wrong and they are not doing anything in the wrong, why not publish it? I think specifically we're not looking for the full footage. We're not looking to understand the strategy and how they go after these vessels as much. I think the more focus on all of this is the accusations they're facing that two individuals were survivors after the first strike. And then as they made their way to whatever remains were floating from the vessel, they were hit again. Now, obviously, the Pentagon saying that the right decision was, in fact, made and that those men were just making their way to the vessel to go back and try to salvage whatever they could from the drugs. That's what the Pentagon says. But we haven't been able to see exactly specifically what the heck happened there. And again, I've asked repeatedly if we're ever going to find out the names of the individuals who were on those vessels to ensure that they are actually cartel members and they're not just civilians who are being blackmailed and forced by the cartels to go out there onto these dangerous voyages. Because why would the cartels risk putting their officials on those vessels knowing that the government's going to strike it down? Our government. Now, there was an interesting clip and it has me feeling a little at ease because Senator John Fetterman actually is claiming that he got a private intelligence briefing on the subject matter. And he's telling us in clip two that everyone is lying to us. Take a listen.
What did you learn, Senator, that gave you any comfort that we're not heading into some kind of extended military exercise around Venezuela or in Venezuela?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it was pretty pretty comprehensive. And this idea, some things out in the media, it's kind of putting out this that the military is just picking off, you know, any boat that comes across this. That's just not true. I mean, there's extensive intelligence and they know exactly who's on that boat and they know what's actually on that boat right now. And it's quite frequently they decline to take it and to move on those things. When they move on those kinetic kinds of strikes, you know, they have absolute confidence that who's on it and what's on it, and that's exactly what it's about. They're not just going around randomly just shooting boats in those things. That's just not the fact at all.
All right, so Fetterman is out here saying that what we're being told by the mainstream media and Democrats, his obviously colleagues, is inaccurate, and they are not being truthful to the American people, which is a kind of a relief at this point, given the fact that, yeah, I mean, who do we have to blame here? Who can we trust? So when Democrats are coming out and saying, yeah, this seems pretty good, this seems pretty safe, that this is actually well researched, well thought out, the intel they've received is good, it's solid, you got to kind of just go, all right, maybe they're just doing what they should be doing. But not all Dems are on board, though. Clip 18 we're going to play for you. Tim Kaine is actually referring to these narco-terrorists as struggling survivors. Take a listen.
I'd like to share with you my concerns about the individuals who've been killed, but I can't for the same reason. I'd like to share with you my concerns about the second strike that killed struggling survivors clinging to the shipwreck on September 2. But I can't fully explain why this is so outrageous, because most of what I know from a classified setting. Unlike Senator Schumer, I've not seen the video yet.
Okay, so he hasn't seen the video yet. So what the heck are you talking about, dude? What the heck are you talking about? See, this is the problem. It's political theatrics. We don't know what side to believe. I always doubt the government, regardless of who is occupying the White House. And so I like to see the evidence. Unfortunately, though, the Pentagon is not going to be putting that out. But it's important to note that the issue of Venezuela is not really something that just recently surfaced. You know, President Trump was the first one to go after Maduro. Maduro has been criticized for quite some time now, specifically in 2015, because even over Barack Obama, the guy, remember him? He had a bone to pick with Nicolas Maduro at the time. Take a listen to clip three and the throwback we just recently found.
Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro lashed out at the U.S. after President Barack Obama declared Venezuela a national security threat and signed an executive order approving new sanctions against the country.
Ah, so it's fine then. But now Nicolas Maduro is a victim. And the drugs that he's trying to push his way into the United States, well, tough luck. See, this is the problem with the left, right? They think we can't find these things. We think, or they think, that we are just dumb enough to buy into the narrative. Yes, would I like to see some proof? Absolutely. But the reality of it is what are we going to do about that? They're not going to show it to us. They've made it very, very clear. It's something that I have been very pushy on. When Senator John Fetterman's coming to you and saying that everything is good, like they're really researching this, this isn't just some type of random strikes on any boats that are in this region, that holds a lot of credibility. And so we sit back and we watch as this continues on. It's very, very important to note that these Democrats are going to utilize this as, well, political leverage. Isn't it crazy how we shifted from the Epstein files to now this? This is their big scandal. So again, keep in mind, this is what they're up to. This is what they're doing. Now, it's not stopping the Pentagon from continuing to do these airstrikes. They just recently carried out another three more strikes on suspected drug vessels. Eight of these narco-terrorists, according to the Pentagon, were in fact killed. So keep that in mind. Again, time and time again, we continue to see this, but so far, I mean, Democrats have no evidence of what they're trying to allege. Zero. Maybe Pete Hegseth is doing his best to hold this footage, allow Democrats to go out there and continue to lie, and then when he releases it, it completely highlights the fact they're part of bulls. They're BSing the American people. That's probably more likely than what they're trying to sell us right now. I hope that's the case, at least. All right, let's turn to Brown University, because obviously that's been a scandal in itself. As many of you guys know, sadly, two students over at Brown University were killed over the weekend. We still don't have a suspect. Now, if you're wondering, where the heck is the camera footage from inside the school that would have caught the shooter going in and out of the building and or in and out of the campus? Well, I hate to tell you, we don't have any. The only thing we could provide you with is crappy neighborhood footage from Ring doorbell cameras. You're asking yourselves why? Well, we keep asking ourselves that. At this point, both local PD and the federal government have done a horrible job at being transparent with the American people. Even the FBI yesterday saying, oh, we're putting out new enhanced video, new enhanced photos. And again, you can't even see the person's face. It's taken from a distance. Again, what the heck's going on here? Well, it's something that even mainstream journalists have to really ask. And we're forcing their hand because the American people are demanding answers here. And in clip five, you're going to hear one reporter try to grill the police about how there's no footage being released from on the school campus. Take a listen.
Let me try to explain that. So as President Paxton knows, there was a major addition put on that building within the last 5 years or so. That is a modern building attached to a much older one in the back. So it doesn't come as a surprise to me, at least, that there are cameras in the newer part of the building. And there is video footage, okay? So there's the back part of the building, old part, and front part, new part. The shooting occurs in the old part, towards the back, up towards Hope Street. In that older part of the building, there are fewer, if any, cameras in that location. I imagine because it's an older building. So as students are fleeing the area of the shooting into the new part of the building, there are cameras in that brand new building that show that chaos. But the only video of the presumed, anticipated, suspected, however you want to define it, person of interest, you have it. We would release it if we thought it would be helpful in identifying this subject, because we are relying on the press and public to help get us there. There would be no reason for us to hold it back. We're looking for the best image we can.
Dan, got a follow-up.
Attorney General, thank you for explaining that.
So obviously, not a good justification for any of this. It's really hard for anyone to wrap their minds around this. The fact that there's an old part of the building, which wouldn't have access. Maybe someone plotted that. But it gets even worse for the school, right? Let's just say that's okay. We could move past that. It's really hard to move past this report that came out from Fox. Brown University's campus alert siren failed to be activated after the first, and even the first message, I should say, that went out to students. It took them about 17 minutes to do just that. So the shooter was somehow able to go into a classroom, shoot up a classroom, and it took the school 17 minutes before they warned other students. How is that even possible? Take a listen to clip 6 and how the Brown University president reacted when she was grilled on that.
The walk. Do you believe that Brown had the precautions and safety measures in place before the shooting that were appropriate and necessary?
I do. And in fact, I'm glad you mentioned the sirens because I think there's been some misinformation about that. We have two security systems that we can activate in a time of an emergency. One is a system that sends out text messages, phone calls, emails, and it was activated within minutes of the incident. Those messages went out to 20,000 individuals, so all alerts. We also have a system of sirens. There are 3 sirens placed across campus. Those get activated when there is a broad-scale emergency and we want people to rush into buildings. In the case of an active shooter, activating that system could have caused people to rush into Barris and Holly. So that's not a system that we would ever use in the case of an active shooter. So,
just to follow up, yeah. It does say on the website when it was launched that it is for an active shooter.
It depends on the circumstances and where the active shooter would be, but you don't want to ever get people rushing into buildings that might be the site of an active shooting.
That's it.
That's my understanding.
Go ahead, sir.
All right. Well, at least it took you 17 minutes to get that message out to those who are on campus. And that's the big problem here, right? You could sit here and tell me time and time again that the sirens aren't meant for what should be meant for. Maybe have someone go over the intercom system. I mean, there's just no way. There's no way this is a valid reason. I don't think they're being transparent. I don't think they're being truthful. I think they're intentionally withholding information because there's something here. The fact that they won't even tell you what the shooter screamed out prior to opening fire tells you everything you need to know. Even Ed Wilkin is highlighting just that. Six press conferences, and each one officials won't say what the Brown attacker shouted before he killed a Republican club VP. Six. And who are they to decide that this has no relevancy to the American people, that it won't help solve this case? I mean, that's what they were asked about. Why wouldn't you release all of that information? I mean, at this point, there's no reason to withhold it unless the reporting is true. And that reporting says that this individual, this is according to Laura Loomer, screamed out Allah Akbar before going after these students. That's the only thing that makes sense here. You see, it feels like a massive cover-up. And if they really truthfully didn't want us to think that, then why not be more transparent? There is no excuse for the lack of surveillance footage. When you walk onto a college campus, there are cameras everywhere, everywhere. We live in a surveillance state. You're telling me the best you have is neighborhood footage? That's garbage. Absolute garbage. Everyone knows it's garbage. It's very, very apparent that there's a cover-up going on here. And I get it. There are rumors on social media that a certain person has had their social media accounts pulled off, as well as they're taken down from a school website. Again, we don't know who this person is, nor will we echo their name. When the school was asked about it, the president said she had no idea what they were talking about when the media asked. So we'll continue to wait to see who this person specifically is. But the individual who others are naming again, who's not being named as a suspect or a person of interest, is someone who, according to the people on social, has a very long history of being a far lefty, pro-Palestinian supporter. So again, we're not going to say this person's name because we don't understand what the relevancy of it is. Truthfully, we don't know if they're a suspect, person of interest, or just someone who might be innocently being targeted. So you got to be careful there. But again, it seems very, very obvious that transparency is not what's happening here. And since we're on the subject matter of left-wing terrorism, let's give you that brief little update regarding that New Year's Eve bombing plot, which the federal government claims they helped prevent, because a fifth person has been arrested. Apparently, this is a Transtifa Marine veteran. Apparently, this individual is looking to recreate Waco on ICE, though. The fifth person, according to them, again, is part of the far-left terrorist group, Turtle Island Liberation Front. And according to federal authorities, they're claiming that this individual, who they're saying is a vet, was a part of these group messages, was going by female pronouns, but doesn't appear to be one. They were also sharing images of, let's see, in the group chat, they were sharing images of rifles and body armor as well. And the federal agents found sniper training manuals, SWAT training manuals, assault rifles, and multiple rounds of ammunition that was apparently found at the subject's home. So, we'll just keep sitting back and watching. Obviously, this is an individual who is not pro-ICE, even one sign, which they've included in the court filings. Death to ICE is a sign that they had at their home as well. So we'll keep our eyes on that as it continues to develop. But again, folks, the federal government claiming that they helped prevent a left-wing terrorist attack. We will see, though, as it continues to develop. All right, we're about to go to a break in just a bit, but before we do, I just want to remind you all to head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. It's the final days of Christmas sale going on right now, which means 60% off some of your favorite supplements. It's the final days, folks. So you got to head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. If you're looking for 60% off your Shilajit gummies, sea moss gummies, and your methylene blue as well. We know those are our favorite items over at the shop. It sells out pretty quickly. So we're giving you guys an incredible discount over at the alexjonesstore.com right now. So head on over to the shop. Make sure you snag these deals before we run out. Just also as a reminder, folks, all other supplements are up to 40% off when you try them once. And when you subscribe, you get 50% off every single month for life. So head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com and make sure you grab it. I know the sale is going to last just for a couple more hours. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Feel your body, your minds, and power the InfoWar machine, folks, because without your support, we can't keep things up and running. And we greatly appreciate it, of course, when you make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, folks, a couple more hours left in that sale. All right, in the meantime, when we come back, I bring you the latest in regards to that Australian Islamic terrorist attack. Their own leaders are too cowardly to go out there and criticize Islam openly. And even one was like stumbling over his words, tripping, shaking, trembling, was afraid on live television. You won't believe it. Well, you'll believe it, but you won't believe it when you actually see it. We'll be right back.
My pillow alone, just my pillow, not counting me, it cost them over $200 million directly related to Arctic frost, everybody. What they've done to my company, tried to just wipe them off the face of the earth because I'm out there going, we need to secure our elections. We need to secure our election. We need to get rid of the machines. We need to go to paper ballots.
You were literally terrorized and targeted, and it's in the documents.
And that thing goes so deep. It's funny, Alex, things go so far, and then they tend to get stopped. But you guys, just know, I am never stopping. I will never stop. My number one thing is we need to secure our election platform.
Let's talk about this. People supporting what you're doing and getting the highest quality, you name it, great products. almost all of it made in America. Your great Giza sheets have that special cotton everybody knows comes from Egypt, which are amazing. Right. I've got some on my king bed. Talk about the incredible products you've got at MyPillow.com/Alex. And again, I want to be clear. We are only here still hanging on, but now people support at thealexjonesstore.com or at mypillow.com/Alex is absolutely critical. This is now literally up to you every month whether we're going to stay in this fight. We're both workaholics. We love people. We love telling the truth. You know, these corrupt people, you know, think we're schmucks because we're not corrupt. No, we know how to be corrupt if we wanted to, dumbasses. But we like being good people. That's what builds a society.
We're the tip of the spear. This is it. We only get one shot at this. And like I said, about 2 years ago, they said, Mike, would you, if you could turn back time here and go back, and if you wanted to spoke out about the election, wouldn't stand your ground. You know, look what they've destroyed, tried to destroy you. I said, I would never change a thing knowing what I know and knowing what this is critical. And that's where we're at. And it's because of all of you, because you buy our products. And that's why we're putting right now on sale our five flagship products. We have five flagship products, our biggest products of all time. For you go to mypillow.com/Alex, and you guys are going to see we've got the Giza Dream Sheets. If you put that thing up there, these are all for Christmas presents, you guys. You can get the best Christmas presents ever. The Giza Dream Sheets, the towels, the slippers. On the MyPillow Premiums, we've sold 85 million MyPillows because they work. You save over 50% on those. And then the mattress toppers made in the USA, $149.98, as low as that, depending on the size. But we got in the premium My Towels that actually work. You save 50% there, $39.98. And here's one of my favorites, the My Slippers. Best slippers in history. They're normally $149.98, $39.98. And once they're gone, they're gone. We can't get those back. They're made with impact gel, made out of soybeans. It's you walk on them, and it's like walking on a cloud. It's absolutely awesome, this patented gel that's in there. And then you have the Giza Dream Sheets. It's my favorite product. It's our president's favorite product. And not as low as $29.98. And I'm going to show you one more. You guys go there, and you're getting five of these Bible pillows. These are very dear to me. They've got stories on the back. You get basically five Christmas gifts for $29.98 for all five. You got the baby Jesus, Noah's Ark, Daniel in the Lion's Den, but you get all five of them. So you get five individual gifts for under $6 a piece. Free shipping, promo code Alex on your entire order. No matter what you are, this is an exclusive free shipping on your entire order. So go to mypillow.com/Alex, and it's a win-win-win. You guys are supporting my employee-owned company. You're getting the best products at the best prices in history. You're supporting this great Alex's great show. I'll tell you, Alex, I can't be prouder, more proud than anyone that support your show and what you put out and help save this country more than anyone, and I mean that.
Tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. A lot happening over here that we want to catch you up on. So welcome to the Wednesday edition of the program. Oh man, a lot going on. A lot going on right now. We're keeping our eye on a couple of things going on. I see a couple of congressional hearings happening right now. We'll bring it to you if anything interesting happens, of course. But I've got my eyes still on Australia. Now, as many of you guys know, there was an Islamic terrorist attack that took place on the first night of Hanukkah in Australia. Two Islamic terrorists opened fire on a group of individuals who just happened to be Jewish and celebrating Hanukkah as they were just literally laying on the beach. So right now, the officials in Australia are a bunch of cowards. They're talking about gun control. They're talking about hate speech. They're talking about right-wing extremism. They're talking about everything except the actual core issues here, and that is Islam. Because you wouldn't want to offend these jihadists, of course. And that's the kind of predicament these politicians find themselves in. They're afraid of the backlash if they go after the individuals committing the actual terror attacks. I want you to listen to clip 7 because the Deputy Prime Minister of Australia, well, he is weak. He, instead of calling out the actual individuals surrounding the terror attack, wants to dance around the issue and just go after hate speech in whole, at a whole, not the actual individuals who inspired those two to go out there and commit the act. Take a listen.
Do you feel like there needs to be and should there be a greater emphasis on hate speech from Muslim clerics in the western part of Sydney?
I think, as I said earlier, what we've done is criminalise more forms of hate speech. And, you know, we criminalise the Nazi salute. Obviously, that's in its own context. But we need to be looking at all of this. And it is really important that we have...
So should there be a greater emphasis on this hate speech from Muslim clerics then?
We will go through all of this. I emphasise that we have done more in terms of criminalising hate speech than we have seen from any other government. But we need to look at all of this, and we need to make sure that we've got the right laws in place, and that we are doing everything we can to keep safe the vibrant multicultural society that we have.
The vibrant multicultural society that we have. No, we actually didn't have it until you brought these people in. You see, he's so fearful that you literally heard him stumbling. In his mind, all of the red flags were going off because he knows if he says the wrong thing and ticks off the Islamic terrorists, well, guess what's going to happen? They're going to come after him. So instead of being truthful, defending the people of his country, he instead takes the easy way out. Oh, we banned the Nazi salute. We did something. Come on. Give us some credit. See, this is what they do. They go with the easiest fight possible. The easiest fight is going after everyone except Islam. Those who follow, those the clerks who continue to read from the Quran and read it authentically and as what it's written as. I don't know if you've read it. I recommend everyone do. If you read it, you'll realize you don't want these people to be your neighbors. You don't want them to be your neighbors. But it's a vibrant, multicultural experience going on right now in Australia. And apparently the defense minister doesn't want to disrupt that. Australia is full of cowards, unfortunately, who do not actually want to stick up for their people and say what is factually true. They've imported people that hate them and is bringing down the quality of life in Australia as it is here in the United States. We see it front and center. You know, when you sit there and you just try to go to a Christmas parade or you try to go to a Christmas market, there's barricades. You have to walk through steel, concrete. Why? Well, because we didn't live like this beforehand, right? I remember as a child going to these things and never having to walk through steel and concrete barricades. So something's changed over these last few years. And what is that? Well, we've imported the third world, which include people that hate us. And we know, we just can't say it out loud, that there is a terror threat looming in this country as well. So instead of directing and trying to talk about the actual core issue here, which is the individuals you've imported that hate you, we're going to dance around that issue. Oh, we've banned hate speech. We've done our part. The government's only job, and let's just talk about it here in the United States, the government's only job is to protect the people. Nothing else. Nothing else. It's clear foreign governments have failed to do just that, and our own government has failed to do just that. Now, why? If I could speculate for a second, it's probably because every single terrorist attack leads to the right that the government thinks they have to pull away your rights. You see, they think they could out-legislate your rights and slowly start chipping away at it. We saw it with 9/11, obviously, with the Patriot Act. And when they saw they were able to get away with that because of so many lawmakers who jumped on board and so many judges were too afraid to sit there and say, ah, well, this does violate their personal rights, everyone just complied. Everyone just complied. So what's the incentive to protect the people when you sit back and you watch what could happen? One terror attack validates whatever you want to do afterwards. That's how they see it. And so we sit back and we watch all this going down in Australia and here in the United States. There's a reason why we've imported the third world. If you truly do love this country, you would not want this. It doesn't matter whether they're Muslim or whatever else it is. We've imported people from countries that hate us, countries that can't actually contribute. We know this because they don't have the level of education that you and I do. There's a lot of reasons for that. Number one, because they want to chip away your rights. Number two, I would say because they become reliant on the government, these individuals. That's the reason why the Biden regime is literally flying them into the country, because they wanted them here. Those are people who are incapable of being able to survive on their own. They leech onto the government. And that is exactly what Democrats want. They want you to have less rights, and they want you to need them. So we're in a really, really sad situation right now where even our own current administration is very fearful of speaking the truth. You know, yesterday, it took a very long time, but yesterday I was watching the president as he was speaking during the Hanukkah celebration he had at the White House, and he finally did say the word Islamic terrorism, but he used the word radical. I don't know why we keep using that. Anyone who says radical Islam is someone who has not read the Quran. The word radical insinuates that there's some type of peaceful version of the Quran. I haven't seen it yet. There's someone who's following that religion. I guess you could just pick and choose what you want, but the reality of it is if you're strictly following what's in the Quran, you are called on to commit acts of violence over 100 times against non-believers. So the president sits back and says radical Islam. He's like making, it's pretty much like he's making an excuse. There's no other way to see it. Yes, of course there are peaceful Muslims. Of course there are, but those are the ones who are picking and choosing what parts of the Quran to actually the Quran to follow. And the reality of it is the ones that are radical are the ones that are actually following the religion. But they don't want to talk about that. They never do. We're going to keep our eye on that, of course. There's more also that I want to talk about because we'll get to this later in the show. In India and other places as of right now, they're blaming President Trump for a lot, especially the Muslim population. Apparently, they're committing acts of violence against women and children, sexual assaults against children. And they're blaming that on President Trump. Surprise, surprise. Surprise, surprise. I want to give you an update. John Solomon did a report yesterday regarding the latest developments in the FBI and the DOJ going after those who abuse their powers in the Biden regime. Well, they're handing off emails to Congress right now, and he thinks that political prosecution, or I shouldn't say political, I should say prosecutions are coming. He's trying to sell you on this. Take a listen to Clip 8 in his full report.
The Justice Department and FBI are about to turn over a tranche of emails showing that the Justice Department, the Biden Justice Department, did not have probable cause, did not meet the standard for a search warrant when they raided President Trump's home at Mar-a-Lago. That is significant. Why? It's in the statutory limit. It is prosecutable in the state of Florida, so you're not dealing with Virginia or Washington or New York jurors. And it could lead to both criminal charges against the prosecutors if they misled the court, or civil litigations where the president sues his own Justice Department saying, you violated my Fourth Amendment right against illegal search and seizure. And so those are really, this is a significant, this may be the most important document today.
This is a blockbuster. You're telling me there actually exist communications between people that show that they didn't have probable cause, which remember back in August that year, there was the whole, I think it was 21, there was this whole firestorm about this. And they went on TV every night and said that. You're saying they not only they had a discussion behind, they actually went out and lied about it in media every single day on MSNBC and in the New York Times.
Well, here's the real question. We're going to have to find out what they represented to the judge to get that search warrant signed, because the FBI, the Washington field office of the FBI, which, by the way, was no fan of Donald Trump's, they were behind January 6th, they were behind Russia collusion, they were telling the Biden Justice Department there was not a probable cause to raid Mar-a-Lago. That is a significant. These are emails and memos from inside the Washington field office of the FBI, an anti-Trump field office. That is a really significant memo. We haven't seen the documents yet. We know what they generally say, but we're going to see. They're going to get turned over to Grassley in Jordan today, and then Jack Smith's on the Hill tomorrow for a deposition. If he shows up, I'm sure he's going to be confronted by these documents.
I'm sure he'll be confronted. With criminal charges, though, likely not. Likely not. See, here's the thing, right? Because when we sit here and ask these fair questions, before I'm critical of DOJ and the FBI, I always ask, We always ask about criminal investigations going on right now, and they always say we can't talk about any of that. It's an ongoing investigation. So you want me to believe that the pipelines from the FBI to John Solomon somehow are setting this down? And it's legit. Also, by the way, it wasn't just John Solomon who got this. It was also Fox News. So two very friendly media groups receiving this information from the FBI. Now, how do I know that they're friendly? Well, they're not very critical of the administration, specifically the FBI. They will constantly have individuals on, and they don't do any pushback. It's just fluffy little pieces. And I remember strictly when John Solomon was talking about the Jeffrey Epstein saga that was going on. He wasn't critical. And then he teased that something was coming. Buckle up. And then he got another exclusive a couple of days later. So hear me out. If what he's saying is true and they have proof, they have emails, that the Biden regime somehow, some way was sending down information through emails that claimed that they knew that there wasn't enough probable cause to search President Trump's Mar-a-Lago. Well, and guess what? Why would you be handing that off to Congress? Because time and time again, we're told that it's an ongoing investigation involving a criminal matter, that they can't talk to us. They can't give us anything. So it's very likely the reason why they're leaking this information to these two friendly media outlets is due to the fact that, well, if you do just that, it likely means that there's nothing of substance happening, especially because they're giving it to Congress. Top prosecutor is punting and handing off to Congress. That's what I see here. I don't believe there's criminal indictments coming anytime soon on this subject matter. I don't believe that those lawyers who were involved in all of this are shaking their boots, afraid about being disbarred potentially for what they were doing behind the scenes. And it's very likely the judge that signed that warrant was also involved in all of this. And I'm sure they're not shaken either. You see, this is what's going on right now. I believe whenever you see bad PR that's happening, which we see happening right now over at the FBI, they're not getting glamorous coverage. They always put something else out there that looks favorable. It's a distraction. I truly believe this is a distraction at this point in the game. Again, they're not giving this information out to anyone except these two outlets. They constantly are getting the exclusives. Why? Because they publish it and no follow-up questions of aggression are really asked there. Why are you guys just handing it over to Congress? Why isn't this going straight to the DOJ's office? And are there charges following from this? What's pending? What kind of criminal matters are actually pending? I don't think anything is happening. I'm not going to sit here and sell to you. I would love to be wrong on the subject matter too, by the way. I'd encourage it. But everything's a mess right now, and we all know it. You know, Susie Wiles did an interview with Vanity Fair, and I don't know why they do this. We all know these outlets are not friendly, that they, in fact, strongly dislike the Trump administration and conservatives as a whole. And so I guess they thought somehow, some way, that they were going to be doing this very stylish interview, photo shoot. And they thought it was going to be for, I don't know what they thought. It's Vanity Fair. It's literally Vanity Fair. But Susie Wiles, who doesn't really do interviews, did an interview with Vanity Fair. And in it, they say that she made several accusations against several key members, including the president, calling him an alcoholic's personality, describing him as that, I should say. President Trump, not bothered by it, though, saying, I don't drink alcohol, so everyone knows that. But I've often said that if I did, I'd have a very good chance of being an alcoholic. Obviously, his brother passing away from just that, according to also the Vanity Fair report that came out. She refers to J.D. Vance, the vice president, as a conspiracy theorist. Goes on to say that Pam Bondi completely whiffed the Jeffrey Epstein case files. Goes after Russ Vogt as well. It's just, oh, and then there's Elon Musk too, but just more ketamine jabs. Now she's claiming that this was a misrepresentation of what the interview was actually all about. She put out a statement and then everyone in the administration piled on and put out tweets and saying, you know, we love Susie. It was kind of bizarre too. Literally everyone down the line, regardless of what she said about them, put out a tweet around the same time. praising Susie Wiles for all the great things she's done, according to them. And again, she's claiming, now she's very specific here. She's claiming that they framed it wrong. It's a hit piece on me. And then she goes on to ripping them. Now, again, she's not saying that they're lying, that they're making this up, because it's very likely that the reporter actually recorded it. And I'm sure that reporter will soon release it, because that's a heck of an accusation being made and thrown your way. So before I jump to any conclusion, she's not exactly denying what was said specifically. She's just saying that it was framed in a way that she takes as a hit piece. Now, again, not Susie Wiles related, but just in general, I will tell you this. I have tried time and time again to speak to certain individuals. They don't want to talk. They don't want to talk. A lot of us who are critical of the Trump administration are blocked out. And in fact, if you want to publish a story about them, they often refer to it as a hit piece, even though it's a fair piece. They say you're lying, you're not telling the truth, even though you might have physical evidence that you're not lying. I know that. I had an email when I reached out for comment to one federal agency. They told me that it was not true. When I followed up and said, well, I physically have an email, so are you telling me this email is not real? I was then told, well, we just don't want that getting out. So this is what happens time and time again. And it's really hard for me to wrap my mind all around this, because why would you even talk to Vanity Fair in the first place? You know that they're going after you. You know they don't like you. I always say, don't feed the pigeons. The mainstream media is the pigeons. Why would you give them anything? Why would you give them anything? And it's kind of crazy considering the fact that so many of us have been so kind. We've given fair coverage, and we don't get that level of access. But Vanity Fair, who has a history of publishing false information, somehow, some way, gets exclusive access to very high up people within the Trump administration. Then you're upset because what? You're saying that they misframed whatever you told them? I mean, I don't even understand the argument here. You gave them a quote, they ran it, and now you're claiming that it was wrong, it's false? Now, the press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, is responding to these claims. We're going to play clip 9 for you. Take a listen.
As for the Vanity Fair article, Michael, I'll take your question directly. This is, unfortunately, another example of disingenuous reporting, where you have a reporter who took the chief of staff's words wildly out of context, did not include the context those conversations were had within. And then further, I think the most egregious part of this article was the bias of omission that was clearly present. And we see a lot of this when dealing with the media every day. You will leave out important context, leave out comments and facts. You know, many people in this building spoke with that reporter, and those comments were never included in the story, probably because it didn't push this false narrative of chaos and confusion that the reporter was clearly trying to push. So what I'll say about our chief of staff, as you've seen from not just myself, but also the entire cabinet, and a groundswell of support from people on Capitol Hill who don't even work in this building, about how incredible Susie Wiles has been to President Trump. And he's been able to accomplish so much because of his leadership and his tenacity, but also because of Chief of Staff Wiles's leadership and her ability to effectuate his agenda. So thank you.
All right, it sounds good. But folks, again, it's very likely the White House probably even has a record. The conversations that were had. If they don't, that's amateur. But the reporter, of course, the reporter has this recorded. Now it's a matter of if they're going to release it or not. Now, again, I don't really care for it. Of course, they're going to paint out the White House to be chaotic, a bunch of backstabbers, and say you were talking junk. And I don't know why you'd call the vice president a conspiracy theorist. Doesn't really seem to add up. But thankfully, J.D. Vance, well, he's very, very polite in his response. Take a listen to clip 10.
If Susie, I'll trust what you said. I haven't looked at the article. I, of course, have heard about it. But conspiracy theorist, sometimes I am a conspiracy theorist, but I only believe in the conspiracy theories that are true. Yeah. And by the way, Susie and I have joked in private and in public about that for a long time. For example, I believed in the crazy conspiracy theory back in 2020 that it was stupid to mask three-year-olds at the height of the COVID pandemic, that we should actually let them develop some language skills I believed in this crazy conspiracy theory that the media and the government were covering up the fact that Joe Biden was clearly unable to do the job. And I believed in the conspiracy theory that Joe Biden was trying to throw his political opponents in jail rather than win an argument against his political opponents. So, at least on some of these conspiracy theories, it turns out that a conspiracy theory is just something that was true 6 months before the media admitted it. And that's my understanding. Now, look, I do want to say something about Susie, though, because, again, having not read this article, Susie is a person I've come to know very, very well. And, you know, a lot of you probably ask yourself, what is it like behind the scenes? What's going on actually behind the scenes of the Trump administration? And I'll tell you, the president is exactly in private who he is in public. Like, I'll tell you a little story. A week or so ago, I walk into the Oval Office and Marco and I are sitting there talking with the president about something. He says, stop. And he looks at our shoes and says, you guys have terrible shoes. So he goes and gets a shoe catalog. Now remember, this is the Christmas season, so the president's got some holiday cheer. He goes and gets a shoe catalog and gets his favorite shoes and orders like four pairs of shoes for me and four pairs of shoes for Marco, because he's like, you know, we need our vice president or secretary of state to look their very best. And, you know, then we went back to talking about whatever major, you know, international issue we were talking about. Again, he is exactly in private who he is in public. That's not true of most people in Washington, D.C. It's not. And I've seen so many people who will say one thing to the president's face, Democrats and Republicans, and then will do the exact opposite behind the scenes. You know why I really...
Because the real scandal here was how Vanity Fair portrayed the members of the administration, zooming into their faces, very unflattering photos. All right, this could be the chicken meat, but I think that's the actual hit piece here. When you don't airbrush these photos... Or according to some of the members of the administration, I believe they're saying that these photos, and I've never seen their faces up close, were altered to make them look like they had deeper wrinkles, look a mess. They were intentionally unflattering as they zoomed into their face. We have the photos of Levitt as well. This is a problem. This is the big problem. This is the big scandal here. How dare Vanity Fair? Publish on airbrush photos and possibly, according to the accusations they're facing now, edit those images to make them look worse. The one of Caroline Levitt was not flattering. There's no way that she looks like up close. I won't believe it. All right, don't go anywhere. Got more to discuss in just a bit. In the meantime, though, it is the final days of Christmas sale, and it's going on right now. 60% off the mega sale going on right now. Stock up on supplements, your favorite supplements, 60% off right now for a limited time. It's the top sellers, 60% off over at thealexjonesstore.com.
Real quick, I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home, day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the Methylene Blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now like my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, I need a lot of help too. And I brought a line that's really good for your dog if you give them like a small little amount of the food. So I'm going to do that. I just thought I would tell you guys about my experiences so far. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear. And we love to hear that, honestly. I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop, so people can get healthier and not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I fluctuated weight wise too. And so finding something that works is really important, and not to get hooked on those like high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well.